We're going to begin Perkah Bonem Yitz Hashem on Daf Kuf Beis Omid Beis. And this Perkah is going to deal with certain dinim and shirim of different members of the team of 39 Malachas. Habona kama yivne v'yechayev habona kol shehu. So there's no shir, no minimum shir from Malachas Bona, because every little binyan, and the Gemara is going to give us many examples of this, is meaningful. And that's called a binyan kol shehu. Now, the Mishnah could have been a little bit more short-winded. It could have said just habona kol shehu chayev. Why ask it as a question? And we find back on Daf Ayin Vav, the Mishnah says, hamotzi yayin kidei mezigas hakos. There's no question and answer. This is not v'yigadot l'bincha, derech shelo tshuva. So it could be that because the earlier prakim, the Tana was very marich to explain all the dinim and all the toldos, when he got now to that Mishnah with regard to hamotzi yayin, he begins to just explain the malachos, period. And he just starts with hamotzi yayin, kidei mezigas hakos. When he gets to Berakah Bona, which is amongst the lamites malachos, which are mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel, he has to really spell out exactly what the shir is for the chiyuv. It's not like the case in the earlier prakim when we talk about hotzos yayin as part of the general structure and consolation of dine hotzah, that he could add another din, namely that the shear of hotzah is going to be so and so. Here he's going back to the mission itself, to one of the malachas that haven't been covered yet, and he wants to know what is the shear. Now, v'chena mesates, this is a case where he has a stone, and he has to square off the stone, plane it, and make sure that it is soft or smooth and square. In some cases, there are minhagim that the local custom is that they smoothen the stone. Other places, they actually add different incisions into the stone, charitzim, and that's all for noi and beauty. So meleches mesates is done in a way where we take these big, big stones, and they're not smooth, and we break them, chop them out of the quarry, out of the mountain, wherever it is, and we have to equate them or square them in such a way until it becomes what we call avonim, avne gozis, or avonim mishupas. And this also could be achieved with a kol shehu. Hamakah b'patish, another malacha that has no minimum shear, and that is when you hit the anvil on the stone in order to get that stone out of the mountain. And then it's something called b'ma'atzad, which is again a big sledgehammer, and it's made of metal, and they use it in the carpentry places for the blacksmith and so forth and so on, and especially is used for building anything out of stone. V'akodeach is someone who drills a hole in a wall in order to fill up the wall, that hole, with a piece of wood or a piece of stone. And in all the above, the chiyuv is b'kol shehu. And that's unique to this list of malachos here in our Mishnah, that you don't need any more than a kol shehu. There's no larger minimum shear. So let's just summarize. We're talking about the case of building, chiseling a stone, striking the final blow with a hammer or a sledgehammer, drilling. All of these are b'kol shehu, and he's liable for any amount. And in all these cases, it would seem that he has some sort of structure that he's building, and the Mishnah is saying that any amount, even just the minimum amount, is a performance, is an occasion for building. Now the Mishnah says, Zeh klal kol ha'ose melacha u'melachto miskayemes. And we're not sure if this is a comment that's attached to Melechas Binyan per se, or it's a general comment that reflects on all 39 Melechos. And you need a Melecha Miskayemes. It's got to be a Melecha Shel Kayoma. Like, for example, if you tie a knot and you intend to take it out immediately, it's only a temporary knot. It doesn't have the status of a kesher shel kayom. Every malacha requires an enduring malacha. It's not temporary, it's permanent. Then it says, b'shabbos chayav. It's interesting because we have kola osa malacha malachtam es kayemes, and then we have the word Shabbos. Rashi seems to have a different gear, so kala osa malacha b'shabbos u'malachtam es kayemes chayav. And Rashi seems to really drive home the point that this is a rule, a regulation or a principle that applies to all 39 malachas. The Mishnah goes on, Raman Shimon Gamliel Omer imake bekornos Allah Sadon Vishas Malocha Chayav Mibneshu Kimisakin Malocha. If he strikes a hammer on the anvil while he's working, so every so often, if he gives various strikes, he then hits the anvil to smoothen and sharpen out the hammer, he's Chayav Mibneshu Kimisakin Malachto. It's like a person who is fixing up his work. So again, it might not be the very last strike, you know, on the anvil, but it takes that period of time and completes that as a unit of time. So Rashi says, Misateis is merabea esa even u'misakna. And then he goes on to those different customs that we mentioned before. And Rashi says that, one second, there was a point I wanted to make here. B'Shabbos ha'osem malacha koyal sadan. He tells you in old French what these words mean. Here's a Rashi I wanted to point out to you. This is about, I'd say, 8 lines or so down from the top of the Amud. And Rashi's talking about Makabe Patish. And he says, Zegmar Malocha Shel Chotzve Evan, etc. Now Rashi mentions the professional here, who's the Chotzev Evan. And his Makabe Patish is the termination, the Gemar, of his Malacha. And the impression you get is that the profession defines the Malacha from beginning to end, so to speak. I'll give you an example of what I have in mind. If you have an assembly line, that's the word I wanted to use. And in the assembly line, each person belongs to a certain, you know, he wears a certain hat, so to speak. He has his professional skill in that particular area, but the preparation of the object is stage and step by step. Rashi's telling you that at every termination, even though the final product is not ready yet, there is a Makabe Patish. So, for example, eventually, obviously, we want to build this stone as a brick in a building, but we first start with the Chotzvei Evan, and we're going to ask, what is the last part or action of the Gemara Malacha of the Chotzei Even. After you finish with the Chotzei Even, then you'll get up to the Mesatete Even, and so forth and so on. And they have their own Gemara Malacha. So that's important that Rashi identifies it with the profession. The profession sets up a section in the longer overall picture of creating a final product, and each section has its own professional with his own name, so to speak. You know, on his sweatshirt it says, I am one of the Chotzvei Even, and we'll define the Makom Patish for each one of these different professionals. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara. Kol Shu L'mai Chazya. Now, what kind of building can you imagine that all you have is any amount, and it's considered fit for something? And we're going to have a number of different answers, and in each case we're going to look into the Mishkan to see if that was done in the Mishkan. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, the first scenario or description of a binyan koldu, ishikain ani chofer guma latznia ba prutos. A poor person who has to put the few coins that he owns, that he possesses, into a hole in order to protect them and watch them, he will dig a very small hole. Latznia ba prutosov, whatever the size necessary just to put some coins in it. And that itself is considered a binyan koldu. Bechein gabi mishkan, if we look in the Mishkan to find some similar type of act of digging that's a chafira kolduhu, is we have shekein tofrei yirios. There were those who were in charge of sewing the curtains, and where they put their needle, meaning let's say they finished their stitching, is they would dig a hole, chofrem guma, a very small hole, latznia ba machten, to place their needles, their sewing needles, inside this little hole. And that makes it into a malacha chashuva. It's a binyan koldu, and it's a malacha chashuva. And in the past we've quoted Rabbeinu Moshe Kaziz. He writes that not only is a digging of a guma a b'niya acheres shenishla kol shuhu chayev, ela af habone bayis gadol im bona kol shu mimena b'shabes chayev. An amazing chiddush of Rav Moshe Kaziz. He's building a gigantic building, and every kol shu of that building is a violation of aleches bona kol shu. And he writes, if he adds the amount to this binyan that a person, somebody, would be satisfied with that tosefes, even though he'll have to add, and that's his expectation to add, but nevertheless, he's built that little part of the building which is sufficient. And achiyuv shenemar al binyas koldu hu dafka bi ofen shabinyan shasa nikar la'ayin. The only requirement we'll have is that the binyan has to be visible to the naked eye. Like, for example, he drills a hole in a wall, and it's nikar to see that hole. If he has, for example, a guma betok beso, and he wants to close down that guma, so he puts offer, a little bit of offer inside of it, then he's not going to be chayiv. That's not already an iser bona. Kevin shelo hoil b'maisa zeklal, sharei aguma nireis kifi shahoisa b'tchila. Avolim hishlich l'socha offer b'ofen shenika la'ayin shesosma b'ze ein shir. Every segment and every piece, every section is considered a binyan kold. Omar Abaye has another scenario in the Mishkan. in which we find a binyan kolshu. He's not willing to accept this, the scenario of Rabbi of Yarb Yirmiyah. Abai Omar Kevan Dimishtakhi, if the needle is getting ruined, it's getting rusty as a result of putting it into the karka, lo avdi hochi. It's not logical that that's what they did in the Mishkan, to bury the needle inside the ground. But rather, what is a binyan koldu? Shekein oni osepit pute lekira ktana. Lishpos olea kedera ktana. What would be a case of a binyan koldu? It would be a case of a poor person who creates a small standing stove, and he puts on it a small pot of food, and that's called a binyan koldu. He has a tiny ware stove on which he heats a little pot. In his little pot, he heats up food. So he builds a miniature tripod, which Rashi calls a dreifus, 3 feet from the stove. And for building that small tripod for his small pot, he's going to be chayev. The kavosi gabi mishkan, where do we find something parallel in the mishkan? Is mevashle samonim litzvoa yirios she chosra malachtam. So they would cook up the herbs in order to create a dye. And sometimes when the curtains were missing a small amount of dye, they would cook up a pot with a very, very small amount of samimonim. Osim pitpute kira ktana, lishpos olea yora ktana. So when they cooked up this very limited amount of herbs on a very small pot, they would build a stand for a small stove, so that they would set it up on a small kettle of dye. The Gemara is going to reject now this sheet as well, because Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Ein Anius B'Mokum Ashirus. In the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan, that's a place of Ashirus. This is not a place of Anius. And therefore, we're not going to derive from Mishkan that they had a limited production of a certain item, and if they ran out of it, they would create the small kettle and so on, because they wouldn't run out of things. They guaranteed that there was a wealth, a very significant amount of whatever they needed. Ella, but rather, if you're talking about a binyan koldu, shekein balabayis sheyesh lo nekev v'biroso v'sosmo, you have a homeowner and he has a small hole in the wall, and the rain is coming through this hole. It may be a mansion, but just that one hole, he seals it up with clay, and he's chayef from leches bona kolshu. The kavase gabi mishkan shekein keresh and naflabo darna. If there was a hole in one of the planks that they needed to build the mishkan, for example, a darna, some sort of a worm fell and bore a hole, is mativ l'tocha ofar or aver v'sosma. So they would hire a craftsman who would pour molten lead into this hole and seal it up. Omar Shmuel, hametzadeh esa evan chayav. So person who, they put the stone down, and in order to make sure that it's firm in its place, they would move it around. They would hold on to the stone and turn it to the right, turn it to the left, until it's sunk a little bit down and set in the ground, so it would be held firmly in place. And apparently just mitzadeid alone is a malachi. We don't require that he add any cement or any other sort of building material to make sure that the stone remains set in its place, firmly in its place. This reminds me of the Avnei HaKotel, like they say that, just the fact that the Avonim are sitting one on the other, that's enough without even adding cement. It's an amazing achievement. And basically, now the Gemara asks the Kasha, because we have a braisa that says echad nosein es ha'evan v'echad nosein es ha'tit, ha'nosein es ha'tit chayav. So if there are two people who are participating in creating this binyan, one person puts the stone down, and he's followed by a person who puts the tit, he puts the cement on the next layer to facilitate another stone going on top of this one, is ha'nosein es ha'tit chayav. That only the person who places the cement, he's going to be chayav. There's no liability simply by setting the stone in place. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, likewise, advocates the principle of Ein Ani b'makom Ashirus. In other words, to say that when they built the Mishkan, they would take a small amount and they wouldn't have enough, and then they would make a small amount afterwards. That's not so. But Baal HaBayis, Shekem Baal HaBayis, Sheyesh Lo Nekev B'Biroso, that's a different situation. You know, he has a leak. He's got a hole in the wall. It seems very insignificant, but yet it undermines the beauty of the hole, and there may be rain coming in. So small. He put some clay there. The kavasi gabi mishkan keresh enofla badarna. If there was a plank, one of the crushes of the mishkan, and a worm fell and bore a hole through it, sosmo is mativ lutocho over vismo. So they would pour molten lead in it and close it up. Now, we mentioned Shmuel hametzayde seven chayev. We mentioned the price. So echa nosein es ha'ev v'echa nosein es ha'tit, ha'nosein es ha'tit chayev. And the question is, it seems like you're only chayev when you complete the entire segment of the work. And here, Shmuel said that all you need is to be mitzayed as seven. I mean, that's not complete. You have to put cement on it. So just setting the stone in place is not enough to be mechayev you. L'taymech, and according to the Makshon, if your logic is correct, they must say for read the end of the Brais. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Hela V'hiniach Al Gabi Dimos Shel Avonim Chayav. He placed one stone on top of another stone, and there was no cement in between, and he's Chayav. And apparently the answer is that it's firmly positioned, like one stone holds on to the other stone. You don't need to add the cement in between one layer and another. Ella, but rather Tlasa Binyone Havi. There are three categories or stages of building. Tata Mitzia Ve'ilo, the bottom, the middle, and the top. Tata Boy Tzidude Ve'afra, the bottom row, which is going to hold up the whole building, so to speak, all the rows are going to be putting their weight on top of it. Then you need a Tzidud. What you do is you position it and you move it back and forth, you wedge it into the earth. Mitzia, the middle layer, boinami tina, it needs also cement. Eloi, the top layer, is all you need is to place it down. So we have the statement of Shmuel, with a statement of Tanakhama, the statement of Yossi, and they're all correct, referring each respectively to a different stage in the building process of these stones. And Shmuel says all you need is to be mitzadeh in the bottom layer. And then we have the Tanakhama, who says you need to put the cement on in the middle layers. And on the top layer, we have the Sefer, this price in the name of Rabbi Yossi, where you need just simply to put the top stone on top. So the foundation stone doesn't need cement. It creates a level base for the entire wall, and you have to just wedge it in or position it. You have to pack it in tightly with earth. It won't shift. It won't move. And that's what Shmuel was referring to. After that, you need stones one on top of the other upon the foundation stone. And here you need cement so that each row will remain level and support the row above it. And the brisa that it mentions, Rav Yossi, that's the uppermost row. That doesn't need cement at all. There's no concern. It won't tilt, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, all you need is to place it on the top of the row of stones. The Mishnah says Hamasates, and the question is that a tolda? It's not listed in the Avos Malachas. It says Masates Mishumai Machayev. Now we're going to get into a whole sugya of Rav and Shmuel, one machlokas after the other, about Malachas Bona and Malachas Makav Patish. Rav Omer Mishum Bona. Rav says that Masates is part of Malachas Bona. Right? He smoothens the stone and planes it in such a way that now it's ready for being part of his building. Shmuel Omer Mishum Makav Patish. But Shmuel says, wait a minute, we're not really ready for building, we're just ready to complete that stone. And by chiseling it out, you're preparing that particular stone. Rav holds that when you chisel it out and you prepare the stone, that's called Meleches Bona. But Shmuel says that since the chiseling of the stone is the final act in that level, that part, that segment of the work regarding that particular stone, that comes on the Makav Patish. And it comes out the following, that according to Shmuel, even if you chisel one single groove in a stone, the Mishnah says Yechai for Kolshu, because that's considered an improvement of that stone. Now we have another Machlokis, Rav and Shmuel, again in the same direction. Ha'osen Nekev Belul Shel Tanegos, he drills a hole in a chicken coop, because without it, you know, the chickens will die. I mean, the droppings and so forth, they'll be smothered to death from the fumes and so on. Yisrael Amar Mishum Bona, you're building this chicken coop. Yechai Mishum Bona. Shmuel Amar Mishum Maka Bepatish. Because really, you've already built the chicken coop. It just needs that one little window. You're adding that final step. That's called the window. And that is a told of Makav Patish. And finally, we have a third machlokas, Ayel Shufta Bekupina Demora. When they built a hoe, H-O-E, they would put a wedge, and in that wedge they would put a peg, and it was a cavity, and they would be able to tighten and strengthen this connection by wedging this peg in the cavity of a hoe. And the metal part of the hoe contained the cavity into which the wooden handle would be fitted. And after the handle was inserted, a peg would be wedged into the cavity to prevent the handle from slipping out. Rav Omer Mishum Bona and Shmuel Omer Mishum Makav Patish. Now this is a little bit strange because in the case of Ayel Shufta Vekupina Demora, we're really not talking about Meleches Bona. I mean, Rav is a bit difficult because Bona applies to Mechubel LeKarka. And we have a principle called Ein Binyan Bekelim. So when he does this act of Machnis Shufta, he puts that peg in, into the that hole of the hoe, that's Binyan Bekelim. And yet Rav says that Yechayev Mishum Meleches Bona. By putting in this peg into this hole in the metal, the wooden peg in the hole in the metal, so that the handle would be in place. And he points out here that Hama'ader, like this ho, as we called it, is Murkav Mishnei Chalokim. One is the base yad, the handle, and the other is the barzel, which is used for hoeing, you know, for opening up the ground. And after you put the makel, that handle, into the hole of the metal, you need to be tochev a masmer katan. You have to sort of add a, we'll call it a nail kind of thing, to nail down the makel into the barzel and make sure that they're mechubarim, they're connected, and they're what we call hedek hetev. And that's what he's doing. So if you look at Tosus Divro Maskel Haiman, he says, V'afgal de Kaimelon ain binyan v'keilin. The Tosus have to somehow square this off with the principle of ain binyan v'keilin. The Gemara says, Utsricha. We need all three cases and all three machlokasin. In those three scenarios between Rav and Shmuel have to be recorded. Tiyashmi and Kamais, if we only had the case of the Mesates, is by Hikama Rav. Rav says that Mesates are told of Bone, Mishum de Derech Binyan Bekach. That's the way that you build a building. You start with being Mesates, the Evan, so it could be used as a brick in the building. Avalos and Nekev Belul Shaltanagon, when he bores a hole as a window into a chicken coop, ain derech binyan bekach, is Ema Modele Lishmuel. That's not the derech binyan to drill holes in the walls of a building. You know, he's built, you know, this is just a very strange case, this chicken coop where you need a small hole. And that becomes a window in a structure. It would be more logical to say, perhaps, like Shmuel, that this doesn't fit into Binyan. So we need to tell us the second case, that even in this case, Rav holds is a told of Bona. V'yashmina b'ha, and if we had these two cases of Mesates and Asiyas Nekev Belul Shaltana Golis, and we didn't have the last case of Shufta Bekupina Demora, we would have said, Baha, when he drills a hole to create a window in a chippakoop, that's when Koma Rav, that's considered told the minyan bani the domi libinyan, because when you build a building, you have to constantly drill holes in. That's what you do when you build buildings. The Avde La Vira. And if you drill a hole that's large enough relative to that wall, it's going to be a window. Every building needs windows so that air will come in and air go out, light will go in. Avol shufta bekopina demora ain derech binyan bekach. You know, this is not like drilling a hole in a chicken coop, which is a structural change in this. Here you just making sure that two different parts, two different segments, you know, the handle and the metal are wedged in a permanent way. That's not one of the avodos that the necessary work in building a building. Ema modele l'shmuel, I might think that he's not chayav mishum bona. Let's subsume it under makom patish. So we need for the Gemara to tell us that even in the third case of shufta bit kupina demora, when he wedges something to tighten the hold of the handle in the metal, ho, that's also considered meleches bona. Now let's go backwards. Iash minim b'ha, let's say if we knew Rav Shita in the case of Shufta the Kupina Demora, l'chora we would certainly know that Rav would say in the case of a neker belul shel taregolim yachai mishum bona. Ah, but if we only had that case, we would say, Bahakama Shmuel. That's when Shmuel says there's no chiyuv of bona, because when he knocks in this peg in order to strengthen the handle and its connection to the barzel, that's not similar to Melechas bona. So, Bahanach Tarti, in the Hamamina of the Gemara, in the two cases of Mesates and also Nekabalul, there it's much more similar to Melechas Bona than the case of putting together that ho. Ema, I might think that Modele L'Rav, Shmuel would be on Rav's team, on his radar screen, and these two cases of Mesates and Osenek and Belul would indeed fall under the category of Moleches Bonet. Tzricha, therefore I need all three examples, all three scenarios, to tell us that in each one, Rav holds consistently Mishum Bonet, Shmuel holds Yechayev Mishum Makar B'Patish. Bominei Rav Nasan Bar Oshaya Mirav Yochanan Mesates Mishum Mai Mechayev Achvilei B'Yodei. And Rabbi Yochanan made a sign with his hand. Chayv mishum makar b'patish. I guess he sort of like held up an imaginary hammer and he banged away. And therefore, we see that Rabbi Yochanan agrees to the position of Shmuel, that the chiyuv in the case of Mesates is mishum makar b'patish. So the Gemara asks, Rav Nosson asks, Vanan Tnan, what about a Mishnah that says, Hamasates Vamaka Vipatish? It sounds like Masates and Maka Vipatish are two separate entities. It should have said, Hamasates Chayev Mishum Maka Vipatish. And after it mentioned that Masates is Chayev for a Kol Shehu, it didn't have to mention that Maka Vipatish is also Chayev Mishum Mamashu, because Masates is Makar B'Patish. And Rabbi Yochanan answers, Ema, perhaps we should change the gears of the Mishnah and should say, HaMasates HaMakar B'Patish. Not the way we have it, V'HaMakar B'Patish, but leave out the Vav. And HaMasates, which is Chayev Mishum Makar B'Patish, this year is a Kol Shehu. Toshma, the Gemara now asks Akasha on Shmuel from our Mishnah. Here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Gimel and Aleph. Hakodeach Kol Shehu Chayev. If he drills a small hole into the wall and he wants to put a peg in that wall, he's chayev even for a small hole. So Gemara asks the following kasha, Bishlei Malarav, where it fits in according to Rav, who says that when you drill a hole in a chicken coop, that's called Meleches Bone, and therefore Kodeach Nekev Bekosel, even if, let's say, he's going to fill up this hole with a yosed, with some sort of a peg, it's considered Meleches Bone. Again, the Gemara is assuming a sort of analogy between Nekev Belul Shel Tanigolim, and in the case of Nekev Belul Shel Tanigolim, the ultimate goal and his tachlis is that air comes in through this nekev, the hevel goes out. But in the case of kodeach, here the Gemara says he's almanas listom biyosed. He's not creating any sort of pesach that's osui lahachnis ulahotzi, that something goes in and out. But nevertheless, according to Rav, who says that you could be chayv on bona, in the case of Nekev Belul Shel Tanigolim, the Gemara thinks we can explain that you're chayev also in this case of Kodeach Kol Shehu. And moreover, Rav extended his psak of Bone to the case of Shufta, Ayel Shufta Bekupina Demora. There also, we're not talking about, like in the case of the Lul Shel Tanigolim, a Pesach that's Osi Lahachnis Lahotzi. So therefore, the Gemara thinks that Kodeach, even though it's Almanas Listom, he's going to fill up this hole with a peg, nevertheless, he's Rechai Mishum Binyan Kol Shehu. Umichsi Keman Dechar Chur Sol Binyan. It's similar to a case of creating a window or some sort of a hole in a building. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who says that when you drill a hole into a chicken coop, you're not chayv shemuleches bone, he's only chayv mishum makar b'patish. And that's because that's when he completes this utensil, and the act of completion is makar b'patish. However, lav gmar, but in this case where he drills a hole into the wall, that's not his Gemara Malacha. How could he be Chai Mishum Makar B'Patish? After all, the Makar B'Patish in this case is when he knocks the nail in, or the Yosei, the peg into this hole. The Gemara answers, Hachamayas Kinon, in the Mishnah, we're talking about a case of the Vaze, the Ramtza, the Parzala, the Shavke Begave. What he does is, he uses a nail to create this hole. He doesn't just drill in the hole, he drills with a masmer, a very long, let's say, metal nail, and he leaves the masmer in the wall. Tahainu Gemar Malacha, and that's he's not going to add anything. That's exactly what he wants to achieve, and that is the Gemar. That is the Gemar Malacha. So just to summarize, we're talking about a case according to Shmuel, where he pierces the wall with a long iron nail. He leaves in the this kind of nail into the wall to hang things on, and that's called Makav Patish. That's the conclusion. That's the Gemara Malach. Okay, then, we're going to stop here. We're almost up to the Mishnah, but we ran out of time, and Amir Tz Hashem will cover the Mishnah in the next year.